Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Axel Kaldschmidt and Russell Means from Logistics Plus. Axel and Russell, thanks so much for joining us. Let's jump right into it. Axel, we'll start with you. Can you share a little about your background and what led you to Logistics Plus?
Sure. I've been in logistics for over 25 years. I started off with a small forwarder in Seattle driving a forklift, and then went on to doing consolidations and ocean work, and then worked at the airport up in Seattle, then to a few international freight forwarders, ended up at an airline with Volga and Epper for over 15 years, and then ended up here at Logistics Plus here just the beginning of August. So I'm a newbie to the organization overall, but very happy to be here for sure.
Russell, how about you? Can you share a little bit about your background and what ultimately led you to Logistics Plus?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I appreciate it. So basically, my background has basically been in heavy lift air charters. So both Axel and I have worked for one of the largest, airlines in the world as far as hauling large cargo. And our familiarity is obviously AN-124 resolutions and B-747s. And at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is, introduce Logistics Plus more into of an airline direct role rather than more of a broker style role, if that makes sense.
What is Logistics Plus Air Charter Solutions for those of us not in the logistics business?
The LP Charter Solutions Group is meant to augment and bring additional added value to our current customer base. The charter segment is meant to bring about a little bit more of an expedient service or a unique solution to some of the logistics that are out there or products that need to come to market faster, be those for either PPE or consumers or industrial projects. Some of the larger pieces of equipment around sometimes requires a little bit more coordination that is outside your standard logistics protocols, shall we say.
I think one way to sum it up is basically air charting is not air freight. That's the best way to say it. They're not related. It's a very unique industry. It takes subject matter experts. It takes someone with a very keen focus to get it done and paying a lot of attention to a lot of details. So it's a little different. That's the best way to say it. It's not air freight. It's air chartering. So,
was LP Air Charter Solutions always in the plans of the company, or did COVID-19 necessitate the development of the company?
It was prior to COVID-19. Basically, they knew there was a gap in the company as far as SMEs that handled this type of work, Joe. And so at the end of the day, I think Yuri and his plan was to basically have this function anyway. And then obviously the COVID process accelerated this much faster.
How has your division helped facilitate some of the PPE demands the company has experienced?
So early on, we basically managed a couple of charters direct with airlines and were able to negotiate down a lot of the pricing because we were looking at air charter costs probably 4 to 5 times what it normally would have been, say, a month prior because of the demand. So anything moving out of China was coming to the U.S. was significantly higher. I mean, you're talking about things that cost, $20 a kilo, $18 a kilo, $20 a kilo, something like that. So it's very expensive, and we managed to negotiate directly with several airlines and reduce that cost. So it was good to have that lineage early and to work that out. And actually, you can add in whatever you've seen as well. I mean,
Right. The biggest demand has been, as we've seen the ebb and the rise of COVID overall, there's been an ongoing demand of more PPE product internationally to be brought in, not only to the U.S., but also to Europe. Asia is still the main focus as far as the majority of some of the manufacturing is concerned. So we've definitely take a look at the resources within those regions to help bring PPE in both into the U.S. and into the European markets. And even early on in my days, we were looking at helping and assisting with South America. That in the end ended up going by ocean due to economics.
Beyond COVID-19, can you further explain why LP Air Charter Solutions will remain an integral division within LP?
For me, what happened was they knew there was a gap in this type of service, Joe, at the end of the day. And so it was really prior to COVID where this started. So the idea was to continue to keep that same push in the new air charters, because as a logistics project company and a project cargo group, you're going to be needing a time where you need to be able to do these things. You can move a lot of cargo by ocean, but there's a day will come when something has to go by the airplane and it needs to be done the right way. So the demand really never diminishes. You'll see ebbs and flows. The COVID has obviously changed a lot of the market because the demand went sky high for a number of months. We had a wave, then there was a fallout like midsummer. And then again, in the fall, it started coming up again with everyone started panicking. And then you had the election going on, all this crazy stuff. So you've seen a little bit more of, an uptick recently at the end of the year for COVID. But for us, the demand for air charters will probably never diminish. So that need is always there. So COVID and air charters really are kind of two separate areas as far as the company focus. And what for us is what we're trying to fulfill is we're trying to make sure that, you know, Logistics Plus has this in their toolkit and the ability to do this effortlessly. If you want to go from an ocean shipment and go to air, then our goal is to be able to make that switch within Logistics Plus and not have to go outside.
Is air charter considered the future of your industry?
It's the market, the way it stands right now, is there's always going to be a need and a necessity for air charters. If going through as far as your cost per kilo, everyone's going to try to keep your standard air freight as it is, because most of your contracts and your bottom lines that everybody does and what they're based upon is subject to those and what needs to be done on those sides. The air charter comes in truly on to augment that market. Let's say, again, if there's a delay or if there's a capacity issue or a problem. If you take a look at the multinational forwarders that are all out there, as an example on the market today, a lot of them have blocked space on carriers already, let's say for a 6-month period in order to sustain and maintain the supply chains of their customers and the customer bases that they have. That's a hybrid charter solution, shall we say, but that's also one of those things that we at Logistics Plus are looking at as far as creating that bridge for our customers as well.
Once again, for those of us not in the logistics industry, can you share the difference between standard air freight shipment and a cargo air charter shipment?
Standard air cargo, think of it as this way. Standard air cargo would be likened to people taking the bus. You have multiple people that are going on the same route and they're being dropped off on similar locations, and that bus runs the same route every day. A charter would be considered more along the lines of your taxi. You're going directly from point A to point B, not necessarily going to those stops. It costs you a little bit more to get there, but you get there much more quickly and much more efficiently. So that's how I would liken the standard air freight to a charter service, per se.
Guys, is it true that when time is money, chartering a plane is really the best option for many vendors?
From a security standpoint, from a direct timing standpoint, from a, you know, risk, care, and custody control, yes, unquestionably, yes. You know, Axel worked a lot in the past with some of the companies that move a lot of these high-value satellites and high-value items, and the risk was just too great to do anything different than exclusive use of vehicle. You couldn't make the risk with a product. Let's say there's only one, right? Or there's a specific need where if it's not there at that time, there's a major loss for the company. These are times when you have to do it. So there's really no substitute. You have to do it, and your best thing to do is to find the best, most direct route that costs the least, and that's what we do.
Can you share some stories about client needs and some examples of where LP Air Charter Solutions really saved a client?
Yeah, we've had the latest one that we've done is we worked with a major oil field company that's based here in the Texas region who had a very sensitive shipment that needed to be moved to North Africa. They'd been looking for a year and a half as far as a solution to try to get it into the destination due to compliance and international restrictions to get there. We did. Within about a five-week time frame, we managed to find a solution, contract, and execute and get the goods and the commodities delivered within the time frame that we specified. And by doing that, the company was then able to fulfill a multi-billion-dollar contract that they had been waiting to fulfill in the time frame that we were talking about. So, again, a year and a half for them was something that we managed to do within a five-and-a-half-week time frame. It sounds like a long time, but taking the commodity that we had, the rules and the regulations internationally that we had to comply with, it really was a much shorter. The 5 weeks was a very short amount of time. Otherwise,
actually, I think the biggest thing was the company was trying to make a decision on whether they wanted to do this or not. And then time delay. Really, we had a solution in a couple of weeks. The question was going to be is the route and how it was going to be approached and what rules and regulations would apply, because we could have done it much faster, but there was also delay on the customer side. So for us, we actually did it. Realistically, we did it in less than 2 weeks. It just became the situation with their approval process and the regulations that were in place on their side, not us. So really, it was, you know, a five-week process because they made it a five-week process. It could have been much, much faster.
Are there any other stories that you'd like to talk about?
We're working on several more at the moment.
Yeah.
But PPE is the biggest one that we're dealing with right now. Again, with the demand in the market, we have multiple carriers that we're looking at as far as solutions in order to bring in five full airplanes full of PPE equipment or PPE that needs to be here in the U.S. within 10 days to 2 weeks time frame. So those are the types of projects that we're working on right now. And there's also some industrial projects that we're looking at the moment as well that are also short lead time and quick execution requirements that are on the charter side.
Yeah, and so to expound on what Axel's saying, a lot of times we're not necessarily trying to get the largest plane, it's just the quickest solution. So, you know, we could charter out a small, Lear aircraft or a Citation or something, or something smaller, and it could be a domestic need. We could have an automotive plant that could be down, you have to move a part, or there could be something like that. So for us, the spectrum is larger than just these large aircraft and, you know, Antonovs and things like that. I think it becomes down to finding what makes the closest match between the two points that makes sense. And it could be anywhere in the world. I mean, it's a very broad spectrum.
The PPE-related stuff has got to be gratifying, right?
If we rewind back a year from today, this conversation about PPE wouldn't be existing. So for me, it's obviously an adjusted norm we've all had to accept. The interesting thing is the public awareness and change has been driven by many, many things that have happened. And so for us, our reaction is we know that it was very much a panic at first, a lot of scrambling, a lot of, you know, people waving their arms and getting upset and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the big push is going to be continuing to fill this need. And like Axel said, it's not just the U.S., it's everywhere. It's South America. I mean, you know, it's Europe. You know, it's even in parts of Russia and other countries, Middle East. I mean, everyone is facing the same issue with this type of PPE situation. And so the question will be is, even if the vaccines are delivered and or people are inoculated and all these things happen, I don't really see the demand completely falling off like a switch. I think it'll taper off, but I think the awareness level is completely different now than it was, say, 1 year ago. So again, like I said, this conversation wouldn't be existing about PPE if we weren't in the conditions we are in today. These conditions will continue. Even if there's vaccines tomorrow, these conditions will fall out for the next, 6, 7, 8, 9 months. You know, it'll be there. Maybe longer than that.
LP is all about customer solutions. LP Air Charter Solutions is just one more new division that LP developed to continue to be a one-stop solution for their partners, isn't it?
So, yeah, overall, as far as I think this is a logical forward step for LP to take in order to really bring in that next level of service and build the confidence and continue to service LP's customers that they have now and become, you know, continue to be that valued partner into the future.
The other part I think we kind of overlook right now because of the demand, you know, the COVID has changed the way people fly, you know, from a person's standpoint, right? You know, the number of flights are much, much lower. You know, there's the commercial flights for commercial cargo have actually increased. But if you look at all the aerospace side of it, and Axel and I worked on this quite a bit in our prior roles, that's changed tremendously. So, you know, there's still a lot of people, you know, are going to fly no matter what, right? But it's not the same demand. So the demand has fallen off. But we see that we'll probably turn around, and our hope is we can support the aerospace side of it when it comes back. There's still times where people have to move aircraft engines and do maintenance, and certain things are going to happen from time to time. But the demand in that has fallen off, I mean, tremendously from what it used to be. But we're hoping that that'll come back, and that'll be another niche for us because we have many, many, quite a bit of experience in that part of the world in dealing with those things. And so that will hope will come back a bit. And so there'll be more diversity rather than just heavy to PPE and emergency critical shipments, because a lot of times when these aircraft engines have to move, it's a very dynamic, fluid situation with the airline, depending on what's happening. So if customer demand goes up on the flight side, more on the personal flights and things like that for the airline industry, this will obviously help us because there's so many times you have to charter something, whether if it's an aircraft on the ground or a part or an engine or whatever. And so that will probably go up and be another, I'd say, 20% of our business or more, but not today because the demand is not there.
What other benefits are there with the air charter option for your partners?
If we take a look at some of the larger projects that are out there, we did the time over money comparison. Some of the discussions that we've had, particularly with the larger industrial projects that are out there, let's say the building of a power plant or of a refinery or something like that, for the most part, people take a look at, well, it's large, it's going to cost a lot, we'll put it on the ocean in a boat, and, you know, it'll get there in 60 to 65 days, depending on what it is. If you take a look at the opportunity with doing an air charter, using the right type of aircraft, you can do that in a matter of hours instead of weeks, and in those types of scenarios, if you have the parts and components in early, you can start producing power or energy or production much earlier, hence have a quicker return on your revenue than you initially thought. So instead of, you know, being up and running in 90 and 95 days, you'll be up in 30 and 35. So you're already in the positive another plus 60 days or so. So that's one example. Then another one is what we experienced in the aerospace and aircraft world as well. As far as air charters are concerned, it's a global market overall now, and I don't think that will ever change. There'll be some protectionist policies that are still out there as far as overall commodities manufacturing is concerned, but for the most part, everything will have to be flown in from different parts of the world in order to finish your product. So between the air charter opportunities usually give you that faster delivery opportunity to your customer than you know being delayed in one way, shape, form or another. So
when time is of critical importance to one of your partners and they have an option of an air charter, what are some determining factors on why this may be an ideal option for them?
I think that goes back to, you know, expediency, right? You have an air charter will get you your product much faster. It's much quicker control. You have higher visibility of it. So, I mean, those are all positive factors that are all behind an air charter as far as expediency is concerned. So,
It is estimated that the value of the air charter services market was $26.57 billion in 2019, and it is projected to reach $33.08 billion by 2024. The future is incredibly bright for this division within LP, isn't it?
It is. Taking where we are globally right now and where the overall air cargo market is on a global level, air charter is and air freight in general is going to be moving higher and higher. And there'll be more opportunities that are coming from that. Something that we had briefly discussed before was the passenger aircraft not flying and missing out on that belly capacity. So hence, because of that, the charter opportunities have grown higher and higher until some of that passenger traffic returns. The charter opportunities are still there. Now, interestingly enough, we have had we've taken a look at multiple options using passenger aircraft for some of the airlines as well in order to fulfill the charter needs that are out there, because the cargo fits the right dimensions of the airplane, and it also fulfills the time frame and the pricing that we need in order to get that done as well. So even though those aircraft may not be used for passenger flights themselves, we are using them as far as to do charter flights and deliver cargo that way. Also, if you take a look at, if you take a look at e-commerce and how e-commerce is growing, and the likes of Xinyao and Amazon and Alibaba, a lot of these companies are taking a look at their own air freight and purchasing or contracting out their own airlines in order to move their goods and commodities. This is taking away from some of what's called the feedstock of the aircraft that are out there on the air cargo market overall. So again, it gives much greater opportunities as far as the charter market is concerned to grow and put certain aircraft into motion, fulfilling the charter needs of the customers that are out there.
Do aviation fuel prices make the air charter option a volatile one when it comes to the cost of an air charter?
If it's $100 a barrel, yes. At the levels that they are now, not so much. Fuel is one of those components that's passed on to the customer as far as the cost is concerned. So as far as the volatility is there, that's a pass-through cost that usually gets put back on. Again, for the most part, it's been relatively steady these days, I'd say, for the past year as far as fuel pricing is concerned. Now, if there's a conflict that happens somewhere else that puts a constraint on global supply chain for crude, the pricing may go up. But then you'll see an overall aviation increase and fuel surcharges come on every aspect of air freight, not just on the charter side. And that we've seen that happen before in the past as well.
One way to look at it is, I don't recall ever not being able to do a charter because of fuel price. Just not. I've seen people track it and people understand what it is. And actually, a lot of times when the fuel prices are higher, they're actually more understanding of any type of fuel surcharge or addition like Axel talked about, because we're having to pay it. It's like getting de-icing or something done. I mean, you're going to have to do it. So it's like, if they understand the reasoning behind it, I've never had it stop a charter. They're aware and they know the cost, but it's never prevented us from doing a charter.
The U.S. market is the largest air charter market in the world. Are they destined to be the leader for quite some time, or is another country eventually going to overtake the U.S. in this area?
If you take a look at the operators, the aircraft operators, you have the much larger operators such as Atlas that is out there and Kalita. In that aspect, the charter side is huge as far as U.S. operators are concerned. I think as far as the global market is concerned, it's gonna even itself out. Southeast Asia is usually gonna be a hot spot anyway for originating charters or market for aircraft lift in need, just purely on consumer goods and other manufacturing bases that are out there. And then there's always going to be your transatlantic trends between North America and Europe. And then Africa is another component that is growing. People aren't necessarily taking a look at it, but it's one of those markets that's growing as well. So I think it's you have your dynamics that usually keep your flow between the markets relatively safe. I want to say that ex-China is going to maintain and probably be the most on-demand locale, moving both east and west from there.
What is the process of booking an air charter for partners that may not be familiar with the logistics of this?
Has some very definitive rules that we need, and Russell's posted them out on social media before as far as what some of them are. But the most important thing for us to be able to do to put out a charter is to understand what the customer's full demand is and what the requirement is. Where's it coming from? Where's it going to? When's it going to be ready? When does it have to be there by? What are the handling requirements? I mean, there's a difference between handling a box of shoes and handling a box of electronics, or even further up on the larger industrial pieces as far as how they get handled. You have special equipment that needs to be brought into play, or special handling that the airlines need to look into as well. And then a packing list is good. For us to be able to determine what the right aircraft type is going to be to move it, we really need to know what it is. We quite frequently see, well, I just need you to move something from Europe into the U.S. and it's going to be about 50,000 pounds. Well, that's good. If you give me 50,000 pounds worth of golf balls, I know it's going to be dense. If you give me 50,000 pounds worth of ping pong balls, that's going to take a whole different kind of airplane in order to be able to move that. But for the most part, the keys are in the details. We'll need the details as quickly as possible. One thing to remember, and this is also a general rule, the aircraft charter market is always fluid and is always ever-changing. So if there's something that comes up today and we bring you a solution today, it's usually key to be able to make a relatively quick decision on that, because your options may change within a 24-hour period very quickly. With the minimal amount of airplanes and capacity that's out there, you have 100 people vying for the same amount of space. So it's usually on a, I don't want to say first come, first serve, but it comes down to relationships and being able to lock up that airplane or that requirement as quickly as possible.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Lastly, how have you enjoyed being a part of a company that's growing by leaps and bounds and separating themselves apart from others in the logistics industry?
For the short time that I've been here, it's been absolutely enjoyable. Great quality people that we get to work with, great customer base. I'm getting to do new things now that I haven't done in a long time. So that's always the exciting part. And, you know, between Russell and myself putting our heads together on some of the little bit more challenging ones, we've come up with some pretty interesting solutions all the way around. So it's been a fantastic start and fantastic future, I think.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.